Okay, and tennis, I guess. When's the next council meeting, Glenn?
It's on the 10th of June, Philip.
All right.
And it will be at our time, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
Which will be 8 o'clock for the New York Washington people, and unfortunately very early for ICANN, 5 o'clock. And for Bruce, it is 10 o'clock at night.
Right. Public holiday in Poland and Austria, I see.
Today?
No, 10th of June.
10th of June, no.
For reasons.
Poland and Austria, is that going to do a
thing? Maybe also Germany, actually. Is that D? I've got DU. Mark, why is it a public holiday, 10th of June?
I don't know.
Well, I guess this is Corpus Christi.
Aha, all right.
That's my guess. That is a very Catholic holiday, I'm afraid.
Hi, it's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie, welcome.
You,
Philip here. We've also got Mark on the line and Glenn. And,
hello, Philip, Ross here.
Oh, hello, Ross.
Tina
hi.
From ICANN.
Very good. Tina from ICANN and Kurt maybe joining, is that right? Yeah.
That's right. We're just finishing up a board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll be in shortly. I think they're
right.
Not...
Kurt's on the line.
Kurt's on the line.
Oh,
there
sorry.
You go. That was shortly.
I was very shortly.
Perfect. Okay, I think we can probably begin. Everybody's got version 4 of our draft report, I hope, in front of them and has had a look at it. I see we've had a bit of debate on the email, which is always good. I thought what we'd try and do first is perhaps address this question in terms of getting the phrasing right on the criteria 3 to do with price and value. Then talk a little about a method of prioritization, as has been pointed out that it will be useful if we make it clear what we're prioritizing, and that raises questions a little bit of things that are sort of absolute and relative. I've got a question also about any position papers that people may have and may want to send in. Does that sound okay to start with?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So let's kick off then with this question about the price and value. And as you, I think as you've seen, based on our earlier comments on pricing, in which basically we're saying that if all the technical criteria are on the same sort of level, then preference should be given to proposals offering lower price. Then we had a comment through from Jeff Newman saying, but wait a minute, supposing somebody's also got some new services to offer, they shouldn't be penalized for doing that if they may want to have a slightly higher price in order to do so. And I was trying to capture that in the phrasing that I put forward, I think, on this version 4. And Mark, I think you had a problem with that thing. It seemed to dilute rather what was otherwise quite a clear criteria. Is that
That's
the main
correct.
Problem you had? Yeah.
Philip Gary here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Thomas joined.
Okay, yeah, Thomas, welcome. Yeah.
Barbara Briggs was on the call as well.
Perfect. Thank you for letting us know.
I'm extremely uncomfortable by us constraining whichever panel it is that's going to be deciding the actual delegation of .NET by too much quantification here. That, yes, uh-huh. There is a list of things that must be considered, and yes, some of these things are more important than other things. But when we start talking about the single overriding criteria in the belief that everything is going to shake out to be equal with the exception of this, seems to me to be somewhat of a pointless exercise. And again, I mean, we are not deciding who gets .NET. We are deciding what process should be implemented toward that end.
Uh-huh.
this. If nobody's going to speak up against this, Philip, this is Mark.
Yeah.
I would like to. I think that we are not assigning .NET to success of VeriSign or to VeriSign against, but I do think it is our task to set a clear policy and not just say some nice things that some bureaucratic committee can then use in a way that it pleases. It is not ICANN's staff or any independent panel or whatever that should give guidance to the ICANN board. It is us. And this means that if we think, or the majority of us think, that price is a major criterion, we should say so.
Okay, Dirk. Any other comments on this?
The other aspect, of course, is if we want to have other criteria in the selection, then we should spell these criteria out. Just saying other criteria, if any, should be taken into account, which is what the value statement currently basically says. Just keeping it entirely open without getting into specifics is, I believe, not particularly helpful in order to create an environment where bidders can actually look at the criteria and try to make sure that their bid works with the criteria that are going to be used.
Yeah, I think you're pretty right.
Current wording does not lead to a predictable process. That's a big concern here.
I think probably to some extent what I was trying to capture, I mean, when we were talking about what quality and the phrase I use, package of services, what I was probably alluding to is in fact what we've already got in the text in 3.2, which is innovation and new services, where we're now saying that, you know, if they're going to come along, we need to know what they are. Please identify your capability to provide such new services. So maybe what we should do is to promote our pricing paragraph substantially with the wording that it had to bullet two there, and to sort of amalgamate something that's a bit clearer in terms of what you might then qualify that with in relation to innovation new services. So we have a sort of a pricing and a sort of new services value separate paragraph. I think that might be a clearer way of doing it. It does seem to make sense to me that there may be a choice that the panel would want to make between somebody offering new services at one price versus a baseline set of services at another. Perhaps we just need to flag that that's what we're trying to say more clearly than we've currently got. Does that sound about right in terms of where we want to be? It's just a question of getting the clarity right in our wording. Maybe splitting those back out again will make it clearer. Shall I go ahead and do that in the next version?
Philip,
yes.
This is Mark again. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Go ahead.
Yeah, the line is a bit flaky here.
Okay.
I am wondering all the time what these new services will be. I don't mind new services, but we are talking about a monopoly contract. And I'm sort of afraid of new services as a way to get rid of the other issue that I think is the one that is really before us, and that is pricing.
Yes, identifying new services will certainly be more useful. I think also we need to bear in mind we are talking about registry pricing rather than go-to-start or go-to-strand pricing, and so we saw that there is the we saw in the correspondence, in the email correspondence we had, I think, that there is the possibility that lower registry pricing can allow lower registrar pricing. But of course, there is no certain link.
No, it's not certain, but I think I have sent a few emails that explain that.
Yeah,
I actually see it happen.
Philip, do you have
any... And others may not see it, but I actually can prove it. I mean, I have a number of domains, and I can get .biz and .us domains for $4.95. Right? So, yeah, it's a fact.
Do we have any kind of a little short list of all the criteria that have been mentioned in this discussion? And surely it's not simply pricing and services. There has to be a far richer suite of considerations that underlies all of this.
Yes, but we're just on that topic now, trying to solve this this small part of it. Or did you have something else in mind about that question?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned that we're going to end up outsmarting ourselves here, that we're going to be squabbling about the thing that is most important, and that's going to take all the bandwidth that we would need to decide which two dozen things are, in fact, important, if not the most important thing.
Well, that brings us a little to what was going on my second item in terms of prioritization, because... I understand it's going to be helpful if we are able to prioritize our list of criteria that the panel is going to consider. And in looking at what we've so far written, that process is not as easy as it might seem, because we seem to have, to some extent, what are some criteria that we're stating as absolute, and others which may be more relative. In other words, there are perhaps some things that we would want any bidder to fulfill, and there are other things in which there may be a choice of the way the bidders do that, or just do something else. In other words, the absolute criteria and relative criteria. So it struck me that there it might also be useful for us to split out those things absolute. I mean, a good example being criteria number one, .NET to remain unsponsored and .NET to remain unchartered. We would presumably give a recommendation that if anybody came in with alternatives to that, that would be grounds for saying no thank you.
What about the possibility of somebody coming up with a truly creative, innovative, compelling case that none of us are thinking about right now? And how much room for true development of the DNS are we prepared to shut out?
Well, that I think is precisely what we're trying to capture by this question of value and services, huh?
May I say something about this, Philip?
Mark, please do.
Mark, I think we don't want a really creative, a new operator for .NET. .NET already exists. It has a customer base of, I'm guessing, 4 million domain name holders. We don't want anybody who is going to make a dot museum out of it with a creative concept. It is an existing thing. It is something that has to be re-awarded. Criteria for this are that we are trying to get sort of monopoly structure out of the domain name business, and any new services that should be introduced in .NET should not be introduced by this new registry, but rather by the registrars. That is my position and the position of my constituency.
Okay. Other comments? Other comments?
I have a comment. It's an absolutely minor little thing. Are we talking about some subject heading 2, or have we spoken about that in your draft at this point?
No, we're trying to discuss subheading 3.
Okay. Can I make one minor suggestion about 2 before we leave it completely?
Yep.
And that's criteria relating to stability, technical, and financial competence. Can we introduce the word security in that recital as well?
I'm sure we can. Yeah.
Criteria relating to security, stability, technical info.
Okay, changes noted.
The question really then before us is how firm do we want to be in relating to the possibility of innovation and new services, and that gets back to what we're trying to capture, or I was trying to capture under value in the other paragraph. Ross, perhaps you could be our advisor here. How realistic is the possibility of innovation and new services being offered beyond those that are offered by the current registry?
Innovation is always possible, and I think we should allow for it. I don't think we should necessarily plan to prevent it. But to put it at the center of our consideration, I think is perhaps overreaching what we've been asked to do, which is help find an operator for the existing registry, not someone to develop new services for the existing registry. So it's slightly nuanced, but it would so as long as we're allowing for it, I think we end up in a really good spot. Innovation will happen when it's appropriate, but it's a very fluid, non-planable exercise that we can't really foresee around. So
sure. Okay.
Is that helpful?
I think it is. So what we should be aiming at is to not exclude it by whatever we recommend, but also perhaps not overplaying it in importance at the same time.
I think what you just said, Philip, is a sagacious thing to apply to every single thing we've got on our list.
Wendy. Okay, well, that sort of helps. For a bit, I will try and capture some of that in some new wording on those topics. Under this concept of prioritization, perhaps we could just agree together where we're saying there are those things we're recommending as absolutes, and then we can think about how we may want to prioritize the rest. And if you look at our list from the top, starting at 1, I would suggest that those things under 1, .NET remain unsponsored and unchartered, would be an absolute. Is everybody happy with that?
Yes.
Okay, under 2, it may get a bit more complicated. There are probably some things we're saying are absolute, like the first bullet, because that's this extract that Ross has done for us from the agreement. There are presumably later parts of that, such as preference to begin a proposal offering enhanced or faster resolutions, which become relative, don't they? So there is at least a mix. Let's just do that for a moment. Under criteria 3, competition, that's clearly relative, as is presumably 4, existing goodies services, yes or no, so it's comparison. 5, continuity grandfathering, we're saying there must be grandfathering, so that would be absolute, I guess. Everybody happy so far?
Mm-hmm.
And under 6, policy compliance, that would be the same. That's an absolute, isn't it? We're saying we wanted to comply with existing policies. We want development to happen the same way, and registrars must be treated equitably. Who could ever want otherwise? So if we return to 2, should we go through those bullets and try and decide what is absolute amongst those technical criteria and what is not? So bullet 1, we would say, is... Bullet 2, as just a reference to this documentation we received from ICANN. Now, I was planning on just referencing it as a document received by the committee, and not doing much more with that. Is everybody happy with that?
Philip, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
There was a document forwarded to us, I think, by Chuck Gomez, VeriSign.
Oh, it's a VeriSign document. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Evaluation responsibility criteria for the .NET, which was a sort of rather long version of some of the things we've seen before. But I thought it may be sufficient to reference that and leave it to members of the committee to make any other points they want to based on that.
Well, as far, this is Kurt. As you were going to reference that document as far as describing inputs from other groups outside the committee?
Exactly.
What I think is required is, I thought you also received input from another registry. And also, I know you've received input from through the constituencies to the representatives here. So mm-hmm. I think what's appropriate is a description of how each committee member, you know, solicited input from their constituencies. So it indicates that it's a broad-based policy development.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a separate point. But yes, I absolutely agree on taking that on board. If I just while on that, do any of the constituencies have formal positions on this? Did you have a process of actually writing a formal position, or did you just do that by a more informal process?
The registry constituency is sort of wavering here. Might be expected, there are going to be individual registry interests expressed in all of this, and there's also a possibility for some broader consensus-based registry-wide constituency-wide statement. We're going to be meeting tomorrow, and it would be extraordinarily convenient for us if the outcome of today's deliberations were codified prior to our meeting tomorrow, and it would be equally convenient if we could be allowed to respond formally after our meeting about it tomorrow.
Okay. What time is the meeting on European time?
I think it's 22 hours from now. It's 3 p.m. UTC.
Okay.
It's east of your brother.
Yeah. That we can do what's possible. So going back to our amplitude and relative criteria, I'm looking now at section 2, bullet 3. And we're saying the entity chosen must demonstrate capability, show its commitment, make registration assistance available to our kind of languages. So I guess that's an amplitude as well. If applicable, we'll talk about a migration plan. So I suppose that's an if, then it's a must. So it's an absolute. Mean time to resolution is relative. Consideration should be given technical stability based on the plural supply based on a, as we've got a diverse supply base, we may need to rephrase that. That's also relative. And the last one is minimum financial criteria unspecified, but that would also be...
So about 1 second. The one just before this consideration should be given. We added after the on-diversification saying of network and hardware providers.
I'm sorry. This is Kurt, and somebody has a speakerphone on, and I'm having difficulty following the conversation.
Okay. I can also not hear what Carrie is saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And Carrie, you could say that again.
Okay. Consideration should be given to technical stability based on diversification of, and then we can say what, that being network and hardware providers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I may change it. Perhaps a phrasing also plural supply, whatever, may also be clearer than diversification. That'd be a good change. Okay. In terms of the ranking of criteria 3 on competition, we've got the moment maximization consumer choice as one heading, we're going to have pricing as another, we're going to have some sort of comment on value innovation as the third. Would that be our order of choice in terms of saying prioritization? It's almost the same thing, but I suppose my feeling would be yes, consumer choice competition first, price second.
Promotion of consumer choice, does that go to the comment we made about, was it diversification?
It may do so. I mean, I think it's phrasing that comes from the agreement itself, doesn't it?
Okay, yeah. That's good. Okay.
I'm a bit confused. What does the consumer choose? If there is a singular registry operator, are not all consumers obligated ultimately to use the services of that provider?
No, I think what we're saying subsequently is once applications qualify by meeting baseline stability, et cetera, positive consideration will be given to ICANN's mission to improve consumer choice and competition.
Okay.
Doesn't that sort of bring us back to the notion of innovation, that if somebody is doing something slightly differently...
No, Gary, it doesn't. This is Mark. Philip, may I?
Yes, Mark, you can. Let's just finish that with...
I think the major issue is that we are talking about two things. I don't care about innovation, to be honest. It's not that I don't care about it, but I don't care about it in this process. I do care about that this contract is not awarded to one of the major registries already in operation, because that would not enhance competition, enhance do away with monopolies. That's the one thing, that it doesn't go to one of two affiliates, say. And the other thing is that the price goes down, because I think it is possible that the price goes down. And all the rest is, as far as I'm concerned, secondary.
Okay, that's clear.
And how to put that into words, I think I leave that to you.
Fine. Okay, we're going back to my president. I think I didn't hear anybody saying that in essence the order we've got those things in at the moment, with a change over the last two bullets, was about right. So if you're happy, I'll keep what we have in that order. And then presumably any other relative consideration comes later than that. So all of our existing four, and maybe some of those things that we identified as relative from technical stability, we would rank lower. That seem about right? Okay. Construing silence as consent. And I'll try and rephrase based on that. So let's just finish off on this question also of positions. We'll hear from Greta Stries. Ross, has Greta Stries got a formal paper in preparation, or were you just gathering input verbally from your colleagues? Ross, maybe not with us. Mark, can you ask the question?
Yes, I've discussed the topic both on list, although that's some time ago.
Yeah.
And also with members of the executive committee. In the non-commercial constituency, we do not vote on this sort of topics, but we discuss them on the list and find sense that way.
Okay. Ross, is that you coming back? No, maybe not. Thomas.
Hello, Philip.
Thomas, you there? Very good. Neither Ross, and we haven't got anybody from the IPC, and the BC indeed has a paper which I could forward, I suppose. Well, that's not too similar to some points of what we've already got.
Philip, it's Ross here.
Ross, yes. Hi.
Hi.
You heard my earlier question. Do you have a paper in preparation, or were you just gathering input more informally?
We're going to gather input informally and also put forward commentary on the draft as they proceed. I don't believe that this is something that we actually get an official position paper from the constituency on.
Okay. Fine. No problem at all. Just need to know the method's been used, and the ISPs also we haven't heard from. Okay. Other points that anybody wants to make on this for... to contribute to a new draft. What I'll also try and do in that is is specify a little more in terms of the methods of constituents are used as outreach and sort of timetables we're aiming at. And it may be that in our whole process, we, as we've done on other committees of the council, we will end up with a subcommittee report that we're happy with, and we put that then out formally to public comment. We make any changes after that period, and then it goes to council. I'll see with Bruce if that's the way he wants to play it, or he wants to go to council first, and then...
Well, I suppose there's some question about how purposeful it is with multiple periods of public commentary.
Yes, exactly. It's, and also bearing in mind existing timetable. I will check with our chairman to see the best way that that might happen. But clearly some movement of public comment is going to be required. Anyway, anything else on the content of version 4 we have already covered? So nothing missing, just a few improvements to make, is what I'm hearing.
Have we just jumped over what would be under heading 6?
Under heading 6, policy compliance.
Are you summarizing the entire thing, or are we just up getting done with points through 4 at this point?
I'm on any other business on the agenda.
Okay, under heading 6, policy compliance.
Yes.
Policy development. Policy development for .NET should continue. Might we say policy development as provided for in the .NET registry agreement should continue?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
There's a formal instrument that specifies what the policy for a domain is, and I'm not really certain what's not to be won by leaving that out. The .NET Registry Agreement is the instrument that determines what .NET is doing, not some indeterminate reference to the fact that there is a policy development.
It sounds complicated.
Thomas,
I have a .NET domain. Where is the policy for that domain? In this new agreement, or in the old situation, or whatever?
Kurt, can we expect that there is going to be some sort of a very formal contractual agreement between ICANN and the .NET operator when all of this is over and done with?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
And can we expect that such things as policy development are going to be somehow articulated in that document?
Yeah, I think, yeah, just as they are in this one.
I don't think there's any substantive argument here, is there?
No.
I think we're just, you know, if we can be...
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any substantive argument either, Philip. This is Mark. But what I would like to try to avoid is that existing rights are being sort of thrown away.
So, Thomas here, if I may suggest some wording, why don't we say that in the future .NET registry agreement, policy authority should remain with ICANN and should not be delegated to the registry operator.
Haven't you already said that by saying that it's remain unsponsored?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's essentially equivalent to saying it shall remain unsponsored, because sponsored means policy authority is delegated. But it may help to clarify things. Or maybe we should add an explanation.
I think that almost works. I mean, if we just have in front of our existing phrasing, in the future .NET registry agreement, policy development for .NET as we've got written, that covers it, doesn't it?
Yes. Philip, I think I stick with your text.
Okay. That's fine. That's Thomas's amendment and position as I suggested. It's true committee work and support from Mark. Everybody else happy with that?
I am.
I'm not prepared to say, but to equate my own sense of happiness with the registry constituency's sense of happiness. So again, whatever the document is that results from today's deliberations, we wish to have an opportunity to examine and comment on what the registry constituency's position has been articulated.
We all have that, Gary. Okay, is anyone else wanting to make a point or a change? Sounds like there's nobody. So I think that probably does our call. We're likely to need another. We're 25th of May today. Should we try for a week's time as well? We want to try. What I want to try to do is get things working fairly rapidly, certainly, so we've got time for something to go into that council meeting 10th of June.
I'm going to be on the road next week, so I'm completely uncertain about my ability to participate in the call next week.
Any time next week? Okay,
well. Yeah, I may very easily enough be able to get to a telephone, but I can't say at the moment.
Okay, well, I think probably next week, however, is the time we would need one, so if there's no worse day for you, then can I suggest exactly 1 week per day for everybody? Is that okay?
That's okay for me.
Okay, so it'll be same time for simplicity. Glenn, if you can make a note of that.
That'll be
super. And I will endeavour tomorrow morning to draft a new version and get it out in time for at least the registry's meeting later that afternoon.
Thank you very much. That's much appreciated.
Yeah. Okay, Doug. Glenn, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Philip.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Of www.freeconference.com. When you have entered your conference, please announce. Ten callers are already in the conference.